In the studio with us now, Doug Richard is here. He's a marriage and family therapist and clinical director and co-owner of Rooted Relational Therapy in Mifflinburg. So welcome aboard, Doug.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And Morgan Richard is here, too. We'll also say that she is your wife, but or you're her husband might be a better way to word it.
Probably.
So we've got to keep this marriage glued together, too. I want to talk about self-diagnosis another day for you two. But marriage and family therapist, she is one of. And that makes them both really what I think is part of an elite group of individuals around here, highly trained and very intuitive about making sure that marriages can be all they can be. She, too, then co-owner of Rooted Relational Therapy out in Mifflinburg. So welcome aboard, Morgan.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And Susan Decker is back. We're so glad to say that we met her a couple of times over the past few years to talk primarily about the LGBT community, transgender issues, and what is, fortunately, more welcoming, more opportunity, more transitions for people for whom it might be appropriate, more acceptance in our valley and in families. She's a licensed professional counselor, and she's landed at Rooted, Rooted Relational Therapy as well. So welcome back.
Good morning. Susan.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. Super glad to see you. Let's talk about mental health and the holidays. It's the feel-good topic of the year, right? So it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a tough time, too. So just a quick primer.
A lot of people are looking forward to the holidays, but I actually read just this morning that 38% of people feel more stressed around the holidays. There's a lot of different factors that contribute to people feeling stressed. A lot of family issues that might come out at the holidays. People have different expectations, and a lot of times those expectations are not communicated or talked about, and that can lead to some issues when you get all the family together.
Oh, maybe that's the whole deal, expectations. You know, my expectation is I want people to leave me alone. I just like to get through this without killing anybody. But is that maybe the route that everybody kind of sees this as this has to go a certain way in order for me to kind of keep it together?
We had talked about this a little bit before the show, and there are a lot of expectations or things that people think they should do. So the way they should celebrate the holidays, what their partners should be doing, whether or not it makes sense for their family or not. And so a lot of times we have to just say, hey, you know, this is your family. How do you want your holiday to look, regardless of what your friends are doing, what you see on TV? So a lot of times just really taking a look at what makes the holiday important to you. What do you want to get out of it? What works best for your family?
Well, I have expectations for everybody else. In fact, the whole year long, I think everybody else should behave a certain way. They should. And, of course, I can't think of anyone who actually does. So, but the stakes are higher nowadays. You know, we're supposed to be happy and everything's supposed to be a celebration. So if people don't behave as I think they should, it costs more.
I think it is hard. I think it's hard for young moms, especially. They feel a certain kind of pressure. There is social media, so you can compare yourself to others. And I think I just noticed a lot of people get Christmas pictures done during the holidays. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a whole another expense, a whole another time set aside to get those pictures taken. There are just a lot of high expectations for moms, and most moms now are working. And so I think the expectations is a big part of it.
You shake your head yes when I kept using the should word as she started it, but then you're nodding that's a big part of this.
Yeah. I often refer to it as shoulding, but we do that quite a bit. And I think there's this expectation that we should be happy around Christmas and that it's a joyous time for everyone. And sure, it can be, but there's also a lot of grieving that people experience around the holidays.
Well, it's like other days. It's like Mother's Day. You know, you wish people happy Mother's Day, but for half the population, it's a day of mourning or sadness or missing or loss or lost opportunity. So really a wide range of things.
Yeah.
So the holidays are that way. I called it holiday dread. You didn't mind that term when I talked about it.
Yeah, I think that's what people can experience. There can even be dread at, I have to go to this gathering or that gathering, or I'm invited to this and that. And you know, if you're married or have a partner, I need to go to the gatherings on each family side, and those expectations, they can just be too much, and you can really burn yourself out.
Dragging a spouse to an office party. Now, that's, that sounds like, according to your description, that would be the quintessential dread, okay? Taking an unwilling spouse to an office party. All right, well, let's come up with ways to cope with this. We know folks are kind of wound up this time of year. Expectations are high, and depression, anxiety, all of these are probably peaked. What can we do? Who wants to start out and maybe
I'll
just
start.
Some
I
simple
think
things?
Obviously, Susan. Since we've talked about expectations, reevaluating those expectations, setting some realistic goals for maybe yourself, your family, not taking on more responsibilities than you can handle or that you can handle in a way that you don't become overly tired or fatigued.
Are there ways around that? I mean, if you are the host of a party or a family dinner or they're just a gift gathering,
you can designate responsibilities to other family members. Mm-hmm. You can lower the expectations. Maybe you want to just do a potluck rather than a whole dinner.
Order pizza.
There's a lot of different ways you can kind of reevaluate that and still have get together and be able to enjoy one another's company without having to stay up for 3 days before to prepare.
Morgan, what else?
Yeah, why I said order pizza was because I think we can make things simple and they can still be really meaningful. You know, you don't have to stress yourself out having everything decorated perfectly or preparing this huge meal. And also put out there that I think it's okay to say no. You know, you're going to get invited to a lot of gatherings and you may have to pick and choose. And there may be times where you just need to say, you know what? I think we're going to stay home. I think maybe we're going to stay home with the kids and enjoy our presence at our house. And that's hard for people to say that that's what they'd like to do.
Well, maybe postpone some things until January if that's feasible. Everything in the whole year doesn't have to be jammed in December.
Yeah.
What else? Other ways maybe to cope a little bit, Doug?
Yeah, keep things simple. You know, what are the holidays really about? You know, is it about the, you know, the precise thing that you are eating, or is it about spending time together with your family? So setting those expectations as, you know, we're going to focus on each other this year. We're really going to work together to make the meal come together. You know, there's not one person who has to do everything or feel like, you know, they have to host and cook and do every little thing. Some people get really burnt out with the spending of the holidays, too. There's this expectation that you have to get extravagant gifts for people. But really, is it about the extravagance or the cost of the gifts, or is it about the thoughtfulness and the time that you get to spend together with the people that you love?
Other strategies, other ways to avoid this dread or to just maybe cope with it? Maybe, you know, I talk about my holiday dread. Are there other ways? Maybe not get rid of it, but just maybe do a little bit better with it. Morgan?
Mm-hmm. I think something that we often forget to do around the holidays is just to take time for ourselves. You know, we're usually really overscheduled, and I think for most people, even if you enjoy spending time with others, you need to have a little bit of time to just reset, reflect, and take the space to say, I just need a break right now. That can be really helpful in coping with the holiday dread.
Sure, self-care. So what might that entail? What would be an example of something that I do? Maybe make sure that I take a nap if that's what... That kind of helps re-energize me on the weekend or whenever.
Getting enough sleep, getting some exercise, not letting the, trying to eat somewhat healthy on the days you aren't at a party, giving yourself grace to eat unhealthy sometimes. You don't have to beat yourself up if you went to the party and you ate a few too many cookies. One of the things I do want to touch on a little bit is we're talking a lot about people that have a lot of family. One of the problems with holidays sometimes are people are alienated from their families or they don't have family. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important that people are able to maybe create their own family, maybe get together. If your family is not a place that you can go to, finding other people that you can celebrate the holiday with.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of loneliness that comes around the holidays, too. And I think that we need to remember that that is a part of the holidays for some people.
Yeah, create your own family. Spend time with the people that you want to spend time with. And unfortunately, you know, that might not be your biological family, but you can create your own family of people who you care about and care about you, and you know, celebrate the holidays with them in a supportive environment if that's not what you're going to get with your biological family.
Yeah, are people harder on their family? You know, I may think that a colleague should behave a certain way, and maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I have maybe higher expectations and more consequences for family members who don't behave the way that I want them to. Is that, you know, a factor? Maybe I just have, you know, too high expectations. Maybe I need to lower my expectations a little bit, or just remember that the world doesn't go by how I want it to.
Yeah, talk about the expectations.
Yeah, what are we going to do? What's a good outcome? I do this with my daughter all the time when we're talking about, she's giving me advice or vice versa. I say, well, what's a happy outcome here? What's a happy ending? What's a happy ending going to look like? And sometimes it's pretty grim, but if you know that that's the best you can do, or if you know you can work towards things that maybe contribute to some sort of a happy outcome. We are talking to the folks from Rooted. It's Rooted Relational Therapy in Mifflinburg. We're talking about holiday stress. We're going to talk more about anxiety, maybe a little bit about genetics. And they are two of the professionals here today are marriage and family therapists. So I guess we can kind of mix a little bit of that in there. Maybe mental health in general that can be brought up. Seasonal affective disorder. That's in the next segment. Doug Richard is here. He's a marriage and family therapist and clinical director and co-owner of Rooted Relational Therapy. Morgan Richard is a marriage and family therapist and co-owner of Rooted as well in Mifflinburg. And Susan Decker is one of their staffers, licensed professional counselor. We're going to talk to her about the same thing we did about 2 years ago. This is the idea that for in the LGBT community or individuals who are transgender, there are some additional stressors, but some additional opportunities to kind of work through things and create maybe a happier holiday for everybody. So we're going to continue that at 7:40. In the studio with us now, Doug Richard here, marriage and family therapist and the clinical director of Rooted Relational Therapy, a new facility, a new business in Mifflinburg with marriage and family therapist, two of them on board, he plus his wife. His wife is Morgan Richard, and she's here today. She's a marriage and family therapist and co-owner of Rooted Relational Therapy in Mifflinburg. If I haven't mentioned their website, it's rootedrt.com. And Susan Decker is one of their staffers. She's a licensed professional counselor. We met her years ago talking about the LGBTQ community stress and factors and acceptance and thriving within and without families. And transgender was a topic then, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I appreciate you. So we did talk about the fact that the transgender individuals sometimes within families, it can lead to or be exacerbated by stress around the holiday. The Rooted Relational Therapy, describe this business, marriage and family therapists plus counselors. Beyond that, is there much else to say about the new business?
Yeah, so we've actually been around since, I believe, March 2017. We currently have four clinicians who work for us. The three of us are here today. And then Jennifer Troxell is a licensed social worker who works with us seeing young families, kids, and their parents. I guess we could talk a little bit about what each of us do. I'm our kind of couples therapist specialist at Rooted. Morgan, my wife,
I just do it all.
She does it all. Yeah, she works with kids, families, couples, individuals. She works a lot with individual women. And we hired Susan Decker to expand our reach into the LGBT community, as well as she has a lot of trainings in trauma. And, you know, she just does a bunch of things that are really helpful for us as well.
All right. Well, so that's a great cast of individuals. You are also establishing a benevolent care fund. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So at Rooted, we believe quality mental health care should be available to everyone, regardless of their financial position or, you know, whatever insurance they have. And we have several programs that we offer to meet the needs of our community. Something new that we have started is the Rooted Compassion Fund. 100% of contributions made to the Rooted Compassion Fund are used to provide quality mental health care to the community, and these funds supplement reduced fee rates as well as provide services free of charge to some clients as well. If you're interested in contributing, you can go online, go to our website, rootedrt.com, and select the Contribute tab and then click Donate Now. Or you can also make a donation by check or money order. Just make it out to Rooted Relational Therapy and send it to Rooted Relational Therapy, care of Rooted Compassion Fund, P.O. Box 54, Mifflinburg, PA 17844.
All right. And we'll have more to say about that in the weeks and months ahead. We'll follow that fund and make sure that you get opportunity to talk about it when you have a fundraiser, or maybe sort of reiterate that folks can contribute. Do we see the Rooted Golf Tournament in the months and years ahead? Would that be?
We're not too much into golf.
Okay,
but
so but
there will probably be something.
Okay, or Wine and Brew Fest. I guess that's the other big fundraiser around here. So that's where we would go with that. All right, well, it is darker this time of year. If you have SAD, seasonal affective disorder, you will most likely be acute at this time. Morgan, kind of walk us through this. Is there anything new as it relates to seasonal affective disorder?
This time of year is really commonly when people start experiencing it. It's when that time change happens. It gets dark early. You're often getting up and it's dark outside. And
you come home and it's dark outside. You're at work and
it's
dark
depressing.
Outside. It's just dark outside.
It's like being in the Arctic Circle or something. So, well, and plus then somebody has to go and say Thanksgiving, you know, which is that's like, oh my gosh, here we go again. You know, back on that treadmill. So not necessarily much new in that particular field, but we still treat it the same way.
Well, one thing that I think is a little more accessible, I think, Doug, you were saying that the happy lights are a little more affordable now, and that people are able to use those to, I think it was white light, right?
Yeah, it's
that you
a full
were saying?
Spectrum white light. It really helps in the morning. If you sit in front of these lights for even, you know, 10 minutes, it helps you absorb some, I don't really know exactly how it works, but it makes you feel better in the morning and really gets you awake and alert and helps get you ready for your day so you're not feeling as lethargic. It really helps with that.
I have plant lights in the basement that keep our annuals going out of the cold. Can I just go down and sit in the basement next to that light for a while? It's supposedly a full-spectrum sunlight duplicating. It's LED. So
just like we have lights for plants to help them grow and thrive when there isn't that natural light, there are lights that are for people that help us grow and thrive when there's not that natural light.
And who said their cat likes to stare at the light?
That was us.
Right. So
yeah, our cats get it. They get it. They sit right in front of it.
So there's no organism, human or otherwise, that can't thrive with a little bit more light.
We need it.
So and that would help.
Yeah.
And if you're affected by this, what else? Is there anything else to do? Make sure the light therapy is maybe part of your life?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I thought that was kind of odd when I first heard about light therapy. But I think that there is more showing that it is helpful, but you can also go to therapy and spend some time talking about how you're feeling and what that experience of seasonal affective disorder might be like for you as well.
I have a couple of clients who I actually only see during this time because they experience the seasonal affective disorder. A lot of times, one of the things we start is we make a program so that we can kind of counteract it because we know it's coming. So one of the things they do is start exercising more towards the end of summer because we know that exercise helps a lot of people through the seasonal affective disorder. We start the therapy in September usually, getting ready for it. Start that light box using the light in October. Some of my clients are able to plan a vacation in a sunny spot. We try to make that in January. That tends to get them kind of through that darkest time of the year. So we plan ahead. Some of my clients are also they take an antidepressant and they can have that adjusted for the winter or just take it over the winter months when it's darker.
Yep.
And some of that's counterintuitive. I want to rest more, exercise less, stay in, cocoon, take a long nap in the afternoon.
The other thing about the light is one of the things that's really effective is to get outside when there is sunlight.
Yeah.
And so making sure, even though it's winter and you maybe aren't real comfortable being outside, even if it's a 20-minute walk around your town, making sure you're getting out there so that you are getting some of that natural light.
Yeah, I was hunting over the weekend. The sun finally came up over the ridge that I was near, and the sun was just blazing right on me. I thought, oh, my gosh, this is wonderful. This was a great feeling. It was a great day to be out.
Yeah, when I'm inside seeing clients most of the day, if it's a nice sunny day, I'll even just try to step outside for a few minutes, and I literally turn and face the sun and just stand there and soak in the sun for just a minute or two. So otherwise, that might be the only bit of sun that I get during the day.
And your neighbors are used to that. Oh, there's Doug out on the sidewalk facing south again. Don't worry about that.
They handle it well.
It's all perfect.
Yeah, I get yapped at by the dogs across the street.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. Signs of life in your neighborhood. Yeah. It's all good. Anything to say? We talk about holiday stress and anxiety. Let's reiterate some real brief ways that maybe we can deal with that, and then we have to talk about drugs and alcohol. But fighting anxiety, the stress that I feel, anything come to mind, Susan, as maybe sort of a go-to thing that could help?
Well, I just mentioned exercise. Mm-hmm. Exercise is a great anxiety reducer. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And that self-care piece we just touched on mm-hmm. earlier, mm-hmm. maybe taking some time to kind of listen to some nice music while you're going about your festivities, whatever it is, being able to really take extra good care of yourself during this time.
Journaling can help, too. That's another thing that I recommend to a lot of my clients is just being able, you know, you don't have to write 5 pages, but just being able to share your thoughts and feelings, jot them down. Sometimes even just the act of writing them can help you process the emotions that you're feeling. And just gives you some space and time to reflect. So that's something that seems to be really helpful for people.
I encourage a lot of people to write down, even if it's just 3 things each day that they are grateful for. It helps people have a positive outlook on things, give them some things to think about that makes them feel good about themselves, what's going well in my life right now. You know, that can really help with anxiety and depression as well.
And drugs and alcohol, the great elixirs of the holidays, well, specifically alcohol. I don't know about drugs as much, but
I think drugs and alcohol we really need to address at this time of year. Let's address it from 2 parts. So for those living in recovery, holidays are particularly hard. If you've ever not thought about it, just watch how many times you are... you come in face with alcohol in the course of one day. Hmm. So you will notice billboards advertising alcohol, bars with flashing lights.
It's
hard to find organizations. You can't even go to the grocery store now anymore without alcohol being there. And of course, during the holidays, there's all kinds of end caps, and the advertising and the marketing is really heavy. So very hard for people who are trying to live in recovery. And are also trying to celebrate the holidays. So family gatherings, often, sometimes even going to your family, there's drinking there. And if you can't drink, you feel very alienated. Sometimes you don't feel strong enough to resist those urges, so you need to stay home. And also having that conversation in the family. Most families now are living with somebody who has some kind of substance abuse issue. Mm-hmm. And whether they've addressed it or whether they have not. And so being able to address that, you know, how are we going to support this person? And how do we want to go about that, I think, is really important.
RootedRT.com is the website, so you can get in contact with these folks. Rooted Compassion Fund is there. You can either contribute to it or, if necessary, avail yourself of it. Morgan, we'll give you, let you have the last word. Anything to add to our whole discussion today? We really covered a lot of ground. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that it's important for us to respect that everybody experiences the holidays differently, and to not pressure one another to experience it in a certain way.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in and visiting. Morgan Richard, marriage and family therapist and co-owner of Rooted Relational Therapy in Mifflinburg on Market Street, rootedrt.com. Doug Richard here, marriage and family therapist, husband of Morgan as well, clinical director and co-owner of Rooted Relational Therapy, and Susan Decker, one of their good staffers, licensed professional counselor. Rootedrt.com for more on all of our topics today. Thank you all so much for coming in.
Yes,
thank you.
You.